Welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Church podcast. We pray that this message will help you in your walk with Christ. The title of Dr. Dortch's sermon is In This Together. The big idea today is that the church is a place where we must learn to live in mutual interdependence.
Hear now the reading of God's word from the book of Acts. Acts, the fourth chapter, the 32nd verse, where the scripture records that all the believers were one in heart and mind, and no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. May God add his blessings to this, the reading of his word. I've always counted it something of a special blessing to have grown up in a small town. I know that there are people who would think that having to grow up in a place like that would be the worst thing in the world, but for me, it was a great blessing. It didn't bother me that everyone knew me and that I knew everyone else. It didn't bother me, not one bit, that everyone knew my business and everyone knew everyone else's business. It didn't bother me that my cousins in Birmingham had so many more options in terms of places to go and things to do. As far as I was concerned in my small town, I had everything that I needed. I had a loving family. I had good friends and their families, many of whom are watching today, were like my family growing up. I had teachers and coaches who were there to affirm me and to encourage me and to correct me if it was necessary. And most importantly, I had a church. I had a church that surrounded me with love and grace, a church that provided me with opportunities to be formed in my relationship with Jesus, a church that helped me to recognize those gifts that God had blessed me with and to have opportunities to be able to exercise those gifts and to develop them. Now, I'd be the first to say that you don't have to grow up in a small town in order to experience all of those blessings. But if you are not in a place that seems to have the structure that is necessary in order to provide those kinds of things, relatively naturally, you have to look to make it happen. You have to look to find a smaller community in which you can participate, in which you can invest yourself. Because when you think of it, large communities, whether they be neighborhoods, large institutions, large clubs, large congregations, large churches, are nothing more than smaller communities that exist under the same roof or in the same locale. They are small enough where people can find places and other individuals around them who can encourage them and support them and help them to become everything that they dream of being, and for people of faith, everything that God has called them to be. So how are we doing at Mountain Brook Baptist Church? On the scale of support and encouragement and spiritual formation, one of the ways that we might gauge the all-important answer to that question, because it hits to the heart of what constitutes a spiritual community, is by comparing who we are and how we do church to the picture that is before us this morning from the book of Acts. As you know, the book of Acts is the story of how Spirit-filled believers moved out from the place where they had gathered, Jerusalem, into Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth, as the power of the Holy Spirit came upon them. They moved out in order to change their world, to turn their world upside down. But as we read the stories that are included in the book of Acts, the one thing that we find is that even though there were powerful personalities who are given attention, people like Simon Peter and Philip and the Apostle Paul, none of these persons comes across as being a solo practitioner. None of them is featured in isolation, but each one of them does what the Spirit gives them to do as they are undergirded by a broader community that is there to lift them up in prayer, and to support them in their efforts, and to encourage them, and to help them to develop an understanding of how the Spirit is leading them to make the difference that each of those individuals was in the power of the Spirit able to make. And in this fourth chapter, we see a very beautiful picture of how that works. The first part of the fourth chapter, Simon Peter and John have been proclaiming the good news of Jesus. They have been brought in for questioning by the religious authorities who order them to stop sharing the good news of the resurrection of Jesus. Cease and desist is essentially the order they receive, but they cannot do that. They cannot stop from bearing witness to the good news of Jesus Christ. The authorities begin to confer with one another as to how they are to treat these believers in Jesus and in the power of his resurrection, and they decide to give them one more strict rebuke and then let them go. And when, as the scripture says, Peter and John are released, they return to the community of faith. They return to where other believers have gathered, and knowing Peter and John's predicament, have been lifting them in prayer. And what does the text tell us? There is this great celebration that ensues. The power of the Holy Spirit fills the room where they are gathered, and the place is shaken. The place is shaken because God's presence abides with them, in them, and all of them are together. In fact, as the fourth chapter concludes, it gives us this picture of how the believer are together with one heart and with one mind, and no one claims any possession as his own, but instead they have come to a place where they are willing to share with one another everything they have. How does our church stack up against this picture? Well, let me begin by saying that most churches struggle not just to live up to the model that we've been given of what a true community of faith looks like and why church matters, why it is essential. Most congregations fail not just to live up to this picture, but to live into it. Because certainly in the United States, there is such an emphasis on the individual, such an emphasis on each of us isolated from others, that there is this reluctance to give ourselves to anything beyond ourselves for fear that in some way we may lose our sense of self-worth, our sense of personhood. And I am all for an individual sense of worth. I'm most supportive of what it means to be comfortable in our own skins, to be happy with how God has made us and who God has made us. But when I look at this passage of Scripture, I cannot help but believe that every individual that was a part of that first community of faith did not really forfeit anything in terms of claiming who he or she was. But in fact, by being together in this kind of way, each person was actually able to celebrate his individuality and have a stronger sense of self-worth because of how he or she was in a place where there was so much love, so much encouragement, so much support. What bothers me today as the pastor of a local congregation, the pastor of this church, what concerns me, especially as I have seen the role of church diminished in our culture over the last 20 or so years, is that no longer is the Church of Jesus Christ considered to be the place where people come to find their sense of worth, where they come to celebrate who God has made them to be, where they come to invest themselves along with other people in order to make a greater difference. What bothers me is how, in the language of sociologists, church has not been perceived by people today as the third place in society, as the place where they can best find their sense of community beyond the home, beyond the place where they work or the place where they study. When I was growing up, yes, home was the first place. School for me was the second place. Church was the third place. Church was the place where my life as a member of my own family, where I found myself struggling to grow not just intellectually but spiritually. Church was the place. It was the glue that held all of those things together. It was the place where I found the sense of community that was necessary in order to magnify every other avenue in my life. But now it seems that today church has become so devalued that people look for that third place, their sense of true community, everywhere but in the church. As I heard someone once remark, church, why would I invest myself in church? Church is just a place where when I go, they make me feel bad about myself. They make me feel guilty about myself. What that person was saying is that church today has become a place of judgmentalism, a place of hypercriticism, a place of undue spitefulness. But do you see any signs of those attributes in the passage of Scripture that I've read for you this morning? Do you see any indication of judgmentalism in this passage? Any sense of spitefulness? Any hatefulness that existed among those first believers? No. No, none whatsoever. It was instead a place where the believers were together with one heart and one mind, and no one claimed anything as his own. They shared everything they had with one another. There was a sense of support and encouragement and inspiration. So how is it that Mountain Brook Baptist Church, in this day and in this age, might offer ourselves to this community so that people could come and participate with us as a place where they can find what they need then to be able to go back into the world to make the greatest difference that they possibly can as Christians, to make the greatest difference for Jesus Christ, to advance the cause of Christ in our world? There are two ways, two suggestions that I think this text gives us that we must not overlook. In the first place, the reason that this first group of believers were able to come together as they did and eventually to make such a difference in their world, to forge this sense of community, is because they were careful to emphasize the one thing they had in common. They were, as the text tells us, of one heart and one mind about what? It wasn't about what, it was about who. They were of one heart and one mind as to how God's redemptive purposes had been fulfilled for them in the person of Jesus. They were together in Jesus. Every church I've ever served has been a diverse congregation in so many respects. And the only reason that any of those churches ever was able to come together and get in the same room was because of how the only thing they really had in common was their experience with Jesus Christ. On the surface, I would say Mountain Brook Baptist Church is probably the one church where there has been a greater sense of unanimity in virtually every respect, educational level, socioeconomic level. But when you drill down deeper, the political differences, and certainly in this climate, those differences are becoming exacerbated. Our affiliations in terms of our favorite sports teams. When you drill down deeper, yes, there are things that could potentially divide us. And instead of finding our sense of togetherness around any of those things, politics, or our favorite sports teams, or our leisure activities, or our vacation spots, a lot of churches struggle because they have so much in common, they don't need to come together in Jesus. Let's not be one of those congregations. The reason that this church will matter in this day, in this time, in this hour, is because of all the things we may have in common, the one thing we emphasize the most, the one thing around which we experience true unity, the one way that we are together in heart and mind, is because of our desire to follow Jesus. It's the first suggestion. They emphasized the one thing they had in common that mattered more than anything else, which was Jesus. And the second thing was that each person considered others to be more important than himself. No one claimed anything that he had as his own. But everyone was willing to share whatever he possessed with others. They shared everything they had. I can remember a time in my life very early when I thought to myself, this sounds like socialism. Time in my life when I might have said, this sounds like communism. No one recognizing individual rights and personal property. And I mean, will that fly in our 21st century world, in the West, in America? Each person did this voluntarily. This is the key. No one was coerced. That's not your own. Don't even act like it's your own. You need to give that up. You need to share it. No one was compelled to do anything against his will, but because they were all together in their commitment to Jesus Christ of one heart and one mind, each of them chose on his or her home to share whatever they possessed. It was for them an investment of themselves, that the community of faith might be strengthened, that no need might go unmet, that everything that God had provided, they would be good stewards of, so that the mission of the church might be advanced in this world. What difference might the ministry of Mountain Brook Baptist Church make in our community and in our world if we were to share together in this sense of fellowship, if we recognize that we're in this thing called faith together, and that it requires us to emphasize our experience with Jesus, the one thing that holds us together, the one thing that will ensure that we will never find ourselves facing fracture or division? What difference might it make if we recognize that God has blessed us so richly, so marvelously, so that by meeting needs, we might advance the cause of Christ? I'm reminded of the story of the man who was teaching a Sunday school class of 10-year-olds. He was teaching them about the importance of fellowship. Sharon posed the question earlier, how would you define community? And there was silence. I mean, it was crickets because, well, we know what that word means, but do we know what it takes in order to create such a reality and to participate in it? He was talking with a class about fellowship. Okay, all right, boys, how would you explain to someone fellowship? For a while it was silence until one boy raised his hand and said, it's two fellas in a ship. Fellowship. Two fellas in a ship. That's not a bad image. That's not a bad response. Especially when you consider how in the early years of the church, as followers of Jesus Christ, were grasping for images that they might use to tell their story in a world that celebrated image. Of course, we're all familiar with the fish, the ichthus, the fish, Greek word for fish. Another ancient image was the image of a ship. The church is a ship where believers are together, encouraging one another, supporting one another through the turbulence of life, through the stormy times of life, through the treacherous waters through which we're trying to make it. We're navigating the perils of life. The church is a ship where believers are together, at least two people in a ship. That's not a bad image, especially in this day when there's so much turmoil, turbulence, uncertainty, and anxiety. So the question becomes, are we willing to make the investments, the investment of faith, of being of one heart, one mind, the investment of the resources that God has made available? Are we willing to make the investment along with one another to be a spiritual force for good? This is not about size. Churches are obsessed with size. This is about substance. Linking our hearts and our lives with other people in ways that make an eternal difference. If we share with one another in that sort of faith, then regardless of the storms that come our way, the turmoil and the turbulence, with God's help, we'll see one another through. Just as my little church saw me through adolescence, so we'll see one another through whatever challenges life throws at us, to a better and a brighter day, one in which every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for drawing us together to this place and to this people. And we pray that your grace might abound to us, that we might then express it to one another, emphasizing our experience with Jesus, putting the needs of others ahead of ourselves, in the process becoming everything that you have created and are redeeming us to be. Bless our church in that way, that together we might be a blessing to this world, for Christ, in whose name we do pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We pray that today's message brought you hope as we continue to love God and live with grace and generosity. Don't forget to check back here for more podcasts. And as always, go out and do the Lord's good work.